Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Style! Style!
That is awful. That's awful.
Oh, man.
That's good stuff there, boy. Where's my Grammy?
Yeah, seriously. Do you have the falsetto stuff there from the other day, too?
Do it, face.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gio and Jones, Gio and the CBS Sports.
Oh, I think you got it. You're talented, dude.
I tell you, man. The way I hit that boo,
boo.
Nailed it. Beautiful. like a
hitting the post.
Like a castrato from the Vienna Boys Choir.
Uh-huh.
You know what those are, right?
If you say so.
Never mind. And look, look it up in the break.
Okay.
All right. So
what she look like?
Pete, no more. No more.
Boy, that good. That is very, that boy talented.
Seriously. Aaron Rodgers had surgery.
Did he have it yet?
I think so, right? It's already over. Or maybe he's going to have some. Whatever. He's going to have
he's
it.
He's definitely going to have it.
One or the other. Mm. On that broken collarbone, and the Packers are still not saying that he's out for the year. I don't know a lot about these things, but I would imagine that surgery on a collarbone heading into week 7would mean that you probably wouldn't see the guy again this season. Would be a miracle if the guy came back this year. Is that sort of
I'm trying to recall how many weeks it took for Tony Romo to come back. He hurt his early preseason, and I want to say he came back about week 9. Week 9, week 10. It was in November, I believe, when he returned to the field for the Cowboys. This was This was a year ago. Or was that the back issue? See, I can't keep up with all of Romo's injuries.
Yeah.
His collarbone, he had the back issue. And, hell, I think it was the back. It wasn't the collarbone. It was 2 years ago, it was the collarbone.
Yeah.
Last year was the back.
It's the collarbone year. The back year. Yeah, I don't know.
But he came back.
CBS PR. See if they've got got a list of his injuries on his resume.
Yeah, can they send that over real quick?
Press release. Yeah, I don't know. I just think that surgery heading into week 7, no matter what you're getting surgery on, and unless it's one of those like meniscus tears, I feel like those things.
It's just a scope.
Yeah.
Going to clean something out, that's totally
different.
Back
and play football?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to tell me preseason, then you come back by week 15? All right. Maybe, but heading into, I mean, week 6? I don't know. I think he's done. But Mike McCarthy said that the reason that he's out was the result of a dirty hit. A dirty hit. So let's listen to Mike McCarthy yesterday talking about that hit that led to all this stuff.
I didn't like the hit. I had a chance to watch it last night on the plane. He's out of the pocket. He's clearly expecting to get hit, but to pin him to the ground like that, you know, I felt it was an illegal act, and to sit here and lose, you know, lose any of your players on something like that, yeah, it doesn't feel very good. So, I didn't like the hit.
So me and you tend to disagree on these things about what's a dirty hit and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine we're going to disagree on this one. That was nowhere near a dirty hit.
No, it wasn't.
I'm sorry.
And Anthony Barr didn't even land on him with all his full force. What? They were rolling as they were going to the ground.
And Aaron Rodgers put his arm out.
Right, he's outside the pocket. You have free reign to do whatever. He's a running back at this point. He's not in the pocket. You can go at him just like you would go at any other ball carrier once he's outside the pocket. So that was not a dirty hit. When I first watched it, now Anthony Barr may have taken a couple extra steps, but he's outside the pocket. If he's in the pocket, yes, you throw the flag there. And once again, he did not put the full weight of his body on Aaron Rodgers.
What happened was Aaron Rodgers put his arm out and landed on that.
To break his fall.
Right. And I know it's a very difficult thing to say, don't put your arm out to break your fall in that situation, because the worst that can happen when you don't do that is maybe you get the wind knocked out of you, as opposed to end up breaking your arm or breaking your collarbone. But it never even crossed my mind. Did you hear the reporter, by the way, just typing away on that cut?
Was that a court reporter?
Oh, my goodness. That person was like,
stenographer?
They knew that.
Wait,
they were
could you go back, counsel?
Yeah, listen to this.
I didn't like the hit. I had a chance to watch it last night on the plane. He's out of the pocket. He's clearly expecting to get hit. But to pin him to the ground like that, you know, I felt it was an illegal act. And to sit here and lose any of your players on something like that, yeah, it doesn't feel very good.
He did not pin him to the ground. You typed it.
I didn't like
the hit. He did not pin him to the ground. It was a tuck and roll, baby. Yes. You get that tuck and roll? He did not land with all his body weight on top of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, nonsense.
Any other player? And look at all the hits that Cam Newton took a season ago. No one said anything. Inside the pocket, outside the pocket, he was getting crushed. No flags, no nothing.
Here's Mike Zimmer in his shockingly high voice on the hit.
I don't know what the scrutiny is. I mean, you know, we're playing football, and, you know, it's unfortunate that he got hurt. But, you know, I think everything was above board, and, you know, we're not a dirty football team. We'll never be a dirty football team as long as I'm here. We're going to play within the rules, and, you know, sometimes things happen.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. Got the victory, not a dirty hit, bad break for the Packers, and that's that. So they are now going to be going with Brett Hundley, and when asked about a quarterback that everybody's talked about with every job opening in the NFL this year, Colin Kaepernick, Mike McCarthy, he wasn't happy. So he first answered a question about the quarterback room and if he was pleased with the quarterback room. And then a follow-up question came about whether or not he considers signing Colin Kaepernick. And, well, this was the answer.
It's a quarterback room that has structure and there's a philosophy behind the development of it, and it will be applied to the game plan. So I feel great about the room. It's not really a concern of mine. I'm more focused on getting back to playing Green Bay Packer football, because yesterday was not anything where we needed to be. You give Minnesota credit for winning the game, but that we're not going to play like that no more.
Mike, that injury, would you entertain the idea of bringing Colin Kaepernick in to compete for that backup job?
Did you just listen to that question I just answered? Okay, I got 3 years invested in Brett Hundley, 2 years invested in Joe Callahan. The quarterback room is exactly where it needs to be, okay? We're fortunate to have a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. We're committed to the path that we're on. We need to play better as a football team. And Brett Hundley, he'll be starting this week, and Joe Callahan will be the backup.
Mike, is that a no on Kaepernick?
I mean, yeah, I've invested in Joe Callahan from Wesley College.
Wait, where?
Wesley.
Wesley College? Yeah, yes. Is that online? Is that Wesley, like DeVry?
like ITT?
I mean, what is that?
Is that like Baruch? An accredited university, man. Division III.
Stop.
Wesley Wolverine.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
That's
oh,
the mascot, man.
Did you not listen to what I just said?
Yeah.
Listen to that question I just asked?
Dover, Delaware.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I'm investing in Joe Callahan. I'm investing in Brent Hundley.
Couple years.
The quarterback room needs exactly where it needs to be, which is down the hall on the left.
I mean, what the hell is he talking about? The quarterback room is where it needs to be. No, it isn't. You're screwed. One of the best players in football who happens to be your quarterback is done, and you've got these two schmucks.
No, don't call Brett Hundley a schmuck.
Do you see him play on Sunday?
First time he's thrust into action. He will be fine.
Three picks. He was not going to be fine. They're never going to win a game again.
You haven't seen, but a small sample of the cat.
That's all I needed to see.
He'll get coached
from the same guy who loves Kevin Hogan.
He will be fine.
He's not going to be fine.
Yeah, I love Kevin Hogan coming out of college. He was damn good.
Stinks.
I said coming
out
of college.
It's different. This is pro football, Brian.
Different.
This is now, they get paid.
Brett Hundley will get all the reps, and he will not be
a schmuck, as you categorize him. Oh, that'll do it.
And he had no blocking up front.
Oh, no blocking. Tough. Deal with it. It's the NFL.
Yeah, deal with it.
Brett Hundley. Damn Packers. It's about time they had a bad break. You know?
Literally and figuratively, right?
Yeah, that's right. Literally.
Why couldn't that happen 2 weeks ago?
These two guys. Come on. As much as you might like Hundley and you're defending him, on his college career. This is not a good situation for the Green Bay Packers.
Of course it's not a good situation, but you got to see the guy get a full week of practice with the first team, and then you can go out and evaluate how he plays.
All right, how many weeks can go by of him not playing well before I can go back to Schmuck?
One.
Just one?
Yes,
oh,
this
good.
Week.
I like it. All right.
Got to make better decisions.
Who did they play this week? You know?
I know? I did know. I don't know now.
All right, hold on.
They play...
They host the Saints.
Saints, yes.
Well, Saints defense played well last week, but generally that's a good defense to get healthy on.
Yeah, they had five turnovers. That's right. That did help them.
So this will be definitely this will be Schmuck week. This is make or break Schmuck week for them. So
literally.
So how about this scenario?
Come on, Brett Hundley.
Okay, what are you invested in him? Who are you, Mike McCarthy? All of a sudden,
come on, Brett Hundley.
Yeah.
Did you just listen to that question I just answered?
Yeah. I got Weston College waiting in the wings.
Joe Callahan. I mean, it's
like a Western star. Here comes Joe Callahan.
No, he sounds like the chief of police in Boston. That's what he sounds like.
That's Callahan, man. Clint Eastwood. Dirty Harry. Callahan.
How about this for a situation? Teddy Bridgewater, who had to get new legs like Lieutenant Dan after hurting himself. On a non-contact play in a practice, which is tripping, so... Man.
What is wrong with you today?
So unbelievably Minnesota Vikings-like. Is progressing at a pace that is surprising everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he yesterday was cleared to practice.
Yep.
And there's many that believe that he will play at some point this year because the only person who's got worse knees than Teddy Bridgewater is Sam Bradford. And you'll never see him play football again. I mean, the guy's got toothpicks for legs. It's unbelievable. So, and then Case Keenum's actually played pretty well, but, you know, Bridgewater you think would be the better option if they're both healthy. But how about Teddy Bridgewater comes back, is unbelievable, and this is your NFL story of the year. Unbelievable for the Vikings. Rodgers is gone. Clear path to the division. NFC's down. The Falcons can't beat anybody. The Eagles, they're not ready yet. And here comes little Teddy. Boom, boom, boom. Rides it all the way to the Super Bowl where it would be a home game. And finally, the Minnesota Vikings curse of all these years ends with the most unbelievable story in sports history as Teddy Bridgewater leads this team to their first ever Lombardi Trophy. How's that sound?
That sounds great and fictional.
See, I can't be positive.
Yo, you were trying hard.
I want to
be
positive.
Yeah, you go too far, though, with yours. Yeah, you went too far with the positivity.
That would be a wonderful story.
We just want to see him make it through a practice, all right? Considering that's how he got hurt. Can you just make it through one practice?
If he gets hurt again in a practice, that's it.
Can you just make
it through? If he gets hurt again in a practice, I got to change my team. That's got to be the end.
All right, deal. Who are you going to go with?
Well, I can't jump on New England now because Brady's too old. He's only going to have a couple more years. I don't know.
Ride it out with him.
I probably one of the locals, just because it'd be easier for me.
Jets, man.
Go
ugh. With me.
I've already got enough pain in my life. I'd probably go with the Giants.
Well, good for Teddy Bridgewater, though. I'm glad he's back at practice, and now they will be able to decipher if he can play this year. They got big decisions to make. You know, do you keep him, or do you look to draft someone for the future?
Yeah. This quarterback thing for the Vikings has been a little bit of an uphill battle while I've been a Vikings fan, that's for sure. And the second that I thought we had a really good one in Teddy Bridgewater, well, we know what happened to him. So I hope he comes back. It would be a great story if he came back and played well and he was himself again. Because that 2015 season, I mean, he was exciting. He was good. We had a good quarterback for a little bit. And then we know what happened. So that would be a tremendous story. It's too bad with Sam Bradford, but it actually makes it easier for his return because you're not thinking about it. I mean, if Bradford played well, then it's like, all right, Bridgewater's career is over. It's almost like it's all setting up for Teddy, man. It's all setting up for Teddy.
And let's say Teddy comes out and he gets back on the field. He's a starting quarterback, and he does play well. Do you now make him he's entrenched as the starter moving forward, and do you trade Sam Bradford? Can you get some value from Sam Bradford and his bad knees?
No.
No,
not anymore, no. I mean, I'd be shocked. I mean, they traded away a first-round pick to get him.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they needed to at the time to keep it together, and we know that it fell apart. No.
I bet someone would take him, even with the condition of those knees, if he's able to get healthy and he was given a clean slate to play.
If he came back and played well again this season, maybe, but I think his deal, I don't know how much, he's probably going to be a free agent soon, I would think. So I don't even know if the contract situation is in the favor of trading him or not. All right, coming up next, I hate to do this to a legendary broadcaster, but we have to play this audio. It's just too funny not to play.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that you got to play. We're coming right back.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
Because I never got the flu shot. Now, the last couple of years, I've gotten some sort of illness that was flu-like the last two winters. And I think one of them was the flu. The other one wasn't. And I'm thinking, and now, you know, my wife is in, well, she's pregnant. So there's that. And she doesn't want me to get the flu when she's pregnant. So she was insisting upon me getting this flu shot every day. And I'm not a flu shot guy. I don't like the flu shot. So every day,
so she doesn't want you.
Did you get the flu shot?
Now, when you've been sick in the past, has she contracted it as well?
She has not.
Okay, but she's concerned she will now that she's...
Well, she wants every precaution. Okay. Every precaution is being made at this point. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if she moved out. So,
runs amok in your house, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically,
it's not the only shot you need too. I had to get I had to get another chicken pox booster because I had it as a kid, but didn't have enough like antibodies in my system. So I had to up that.
Blood drawn to see about your chicken pox antibodies?
Yeah. everyone should get that actually is going to handle the baby.
I got to get a whole bunch of shots now because she's having
You got to get at least one.
Stop.
Yeah.
It was different in the hood, G. Just moved to the hood, dog. You're immune to everything.
All I got to do is go to North Belport across the tracks, and I don't get any shots.
You don't need any
shots. Be a different type of shot.
True, yeah. You got to dodge some things, but you'll be all right.
Wow. Man. I'm not a big fan of all this.
I'm with you.
I guess I got to get a flu shot. You think I should get a flu shot, Bogus?
Yes.
All right. Really?
Yeah, listen to him.
You're not going to get sick, and the alternative is making your wife and your baby sick. So, yes, get a flu shot.
All right. Yeah, get a flu shot.
Okay, you're actually coming around on the other side.
Be a better man.
Be a better man.
And get a flu shot.
What is in your flu toolbox? Is it chicken pox antibody?
How to protect your baby.
That's not a bad, it's not a bad segment here.
Better body. Yeah, better baby.
Would you recommend a machete in the nursery or just near it in case you need to...
Keep it close.
Okay.
Yeah. Nearby.
De-escalate a situation and not allow your anger to get the best of you.
That's right. Not have to pull out your machete.
You should
chop up a motherfucker.
If this takes off, the Better Man Show, we've all got our fingers crossed for you to take it off. And then, when it takes off, you should then do the Dominican spinoff. Bueno mano. And then.
Un hombre mejor.
Yeah,
that's
there
right.
You go. I was about to say.
So, and then you can do all the stuff like keep the machete in the bed.
Yeah.
All of these things. Do not shoot somebody after a fender bender.
Right.
Right.
When to wield your machete and all that. Yeah.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Your pistol, man. Keep it holstered. Come on. Right. Just a fender bender. Yes.
All right, Bogus. You got an update?
I do. Yes. They will have to win four straight this time to erase an 0-2 hole, but the Yankees off and running with the unsuspecting Astros now in the Bronx.
Swung on, and a line drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He hit a line drive bullet to left. A three-run home run. A Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the judge.
Technically, they don't have to win four straight. They can lose another one and then win.
True. They have to win four to get out of this 0-2 hole. You're right. That straight's unnecessary.
Sorry. I apologize.
No, that's good. You should. Yeah. That was John Sterling on WFAN. Judge also made two highlight reel plays in right field. The big swing, though, came in the midst of a 2-for-28 slump.
And that's what I kind of picked up and learned from my teammates. And they've always supported me all year, you know, through the good times and bad times.
Oh, that's what friends are.
Dion and the Pips.
Yeah, man. Keep striving.
Yeah.
I need friends like that. Man, I need teammates like that. Way to go, Judge.
What do you mean? We're all sitting here rooting for your TV show.
Right.
You've got
We're not
that.
Your friends?
You? You've got that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mikey changed baseball teams for you.
That didn't help. Speaking of teammates, how about Aaron Taylor? We showed a clip on Inside College Football a couple weeks ago. He says this would be the first TV show to go right to DVD.
Oh, yeah. A Better Man show?
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, wow. Creep. That's not good. That's not a nice thing to say.
I would expect that from you guys, not him.
He's wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big old big man voice that he has. He probably laughed afterwards like, right?
Did you like my joke?
Todd Frazier also did a
three-run. There was some seepage in that laugh. Yeah.
You got that clip of the Better Man Show on Inside College Football?
Yeah, man.
Look at you.
I didn't have anything to do with it. The producer of Inside College Football wanted it.
That is real. You are something else, man. When it comes to promoting it on WFAN, you got Inside College Football, you got it here.
I had nothing to do with that. I just said.
Oh, they just did it on
the producer of Inside College Football surprised me with it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well, look at him.
Man brain. Woman brain.
I didn't even know about it. You talked
producer
to him about
brain.
It?
Producer brain.
You talked to him about
no,
it?
No, Mike. We've been promoting on LinkedIn and all that, so he
picked up. He didn't, listen to our show and then get the idea from us?
No.
Okay.
Let's build a better man.
Next Why time. Not?
You know what you need to do? You need to get better men into a highlight read. On Saturday afternoon.
See? I like your style.
Yeah.
You're right. We're in four straight.
Man,
right.
if you crowbar in a Better Man reference on CBS on Saturday.
He wants to be a better man.
Oh,
it's easy.
I am.
Oh, that is.
I am.
Oh, that's.
Bryant?
That's no good.
Y'all need to come to the party, too, on the 29th. Because it airs in New York on the 29th. First airing in New York, WCBS. And we're going to have a watch party.
You going to watch it?
Do we have to?
I know because
that's going to determine whether if I go or not.
Yeah, will the games be on somewhere else?
Yeah, you're going to watch, but you're going to have games too. That's the first thing I said. It's like, wait a minute, this is a Sunday, man.
You're going to sit there and watch. When's the party start? So I can start drinking and acting like a bad man.
No, you can do that while you're watching. Okay. Trust me. There will not be any cameras rolling.
It better be like a real party and not like, milk and a therapist there.
All these smoothies.
Yeah,
and
right. A financial advisor in the corner with carrots and celery.
We're going to gauge how you reacted to each segment. You go to this room, you go to this room.
Well, where and when? The 29th.
Urban Cole
issue. What's going on? Monday Night Football.
Hey, thanks, Greg.
Yeah, right.
I'll be with you, Brian. Our Yankees will be in the World Series.
Jeez.
I have a picture of Mikey V at the door. You see this gentleman.
Right. Get your machete.
I'll get in.
No entry for him. Thank you, Mike.
We have the party in Hoboken. Why have a party?
Yeah, seriously.
What?
Come on.
So Hoboken.
Good spot.
Oh, it's just a difficult place to get to.
Well, there's two rivers between it and
Take
us.
Take the path.
Take the path train.
How long will it take for you on the train?
Like 3 hours.
Yeah.
It would not take 3 years.
It would. It would take a long time. It was a really long time, even for Bogus, who's farther west than I am.
You're uninvited then. Thanks for the support.
We can still be invited. We're just not going to go.
You want to have a non-invitation? Want to have a non-watch party at my house?
Where
just make sure you watch it.
Think about the show and then hang out.
How about you record it and watch it once all the football's over with?
Yeah, let's do that.
There you go.
So the Yankees did beat the Astros last night. They're now down 2-1. Game 4, 5:08 Eastern today. Then first pitch at Wrigley for 9:00. The Cubs for the Dodgers. 2-0. The NFLPA heading to a Manhattan court this afternoon asking for an emergency restraining order, which would allow Ezekiel Elliott to play this weekend. Marcus Mariota returning from his strained left hamstring from Monday Night Football, 306 yards, and the tie-breaking touchdown pass.
I wanted to be out there last week, and just unfortunately I wasn't able to do that. So I was happy to get the green light.
His Titans won 36-22 after 21 fourth quarter points. J.R. Smith says LeBron James will play tonight's NBA season opener against Boston, but Cavs head coach
T-Lew
is still unsure. And after a five-hour meeting, Louisville's Athletic Association fired Rick Pitino yesterday with cause. Pitino maintains he knew nothing of assistant coaches funneling money to recruits and their families. Boys?
All right, hang out here, Bogus, because there's a couple of things I want you around for. The first of which, we were going to play this yesterday, but we didn't know if we could, and then we got the green light for it. And I will preface this by saying, yes, sometimes we're mean people and make fun of a lot of people. And,
sometimes. All the time.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of respect for Dick Stockton and his career. But this is just too funny not to play. This is just one of these moments. He's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
Mistakes are going to happen, but holy hell is this funny. So this is Dick Stockton and Mark Schlereth calling a game for Fox on Sunday. And this is the quintessential, and it's cliche at this point, but it really is, the quintessential Ron Burgundy moment.
On the Visa Halftime Report, Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
Well, sometimes, young offensive tackle right there.
Sometimes you read what you're not supposed to read.
Oh, man. Look on graphic for final two bullet points.
Yeah, he was not supposed to voice that.
No. Bogus.
I am happy, though, that there's a slight, and a slight bit of confusion as he's finishing that. Like, he almost knows what he's done. He didn't just confidently storm through it.
I don't know. Said a lot of words there without stopping. Look on graphic.
On graphic for the final two bullet points.
I mean, that's a lot. Look on graphic, you should probably stop at.
Look, stop, right? As soon as you say look.
Look on graphic for final two bullet points.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, there's no defending it. He's been doing it a long time. It happens. Yeah. What are you going to do, right? Oh, man. Dick Stockton. Still, great career.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be him. I want to be 70-plus still doing games and sounding 70-plus.
Yes, that is true. I am conscious of that. I didn't want to sit here just crush him, but boy, that's funny. The other thing I wanted you here for is Mikey B called to my attention. He was insulted this morning. He was absolutely insulted.
You should be used to that, right?
By me?
No.
Oh, okay,
no,
good.
Not
you.
Not me, not Brian, not you.
Yeah, not me.
But Petey Meats.
Oh.
So Petey Meats, Pete Bellotti, Republican Pete, Pistachio Pete, Wrestling Pete, he is the commissioner of the Newsroom Fantasy Football League. And what Pete does is he swindles people into making bad fantasy football trades.
That's not true.
So like Tiki Barber, who doesn't care about his fantasy team, just funnels him players for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe he wants to see Pete do well. He's got a soft spot for Pete, bad for Pete. But he makes these terrible trades. And then he also pulled the wool over Stu's eyes and got Stu Kovacs, who works in the newsroom, to make the worst trade in the history of fantasy football. Stu didn't realize he had the number one overall pick in the draft, and then Pete basically traded Dez Bryant for Antonio Brown, which, I mean, I don't know how the hell you pulled that.
That's
I don't know.
Was it
roofie or something?
Look, I send offers.
Stop. You'll get your shot. It's not yet. So, I send offers. Right, exactly. You send offers to people who are not paying attention. So, he thought that Mikey B was one of these guys.
Well,
as he sent him a trade. You just say, well.
Yeah. Bogus is the most insecure person, I think, here. Subtly, he is. But that's for another time.
So, he thinks that Mikey B is going to accept a trade. So one of the most productive tight ends in football over the last couple of weeks is Austin Seferian Jenkins of the Jets. So Pete decides now to strike on that for some reason and go and ask Mike for Austin Seferian Jenkins. And on the way back, what Mike would get is 150-year-old Jason Witten.
Jason Witten still gets targeted a lot.
No, it's not. That's not a good fantasy football trade. Not even close. It's just not even a thought.
Seferian Jenkins, the most receptions during his young NFL career thus far, and we're just starting. You're right in a quarter of the season.
Town loves him.
It's a It's one of these floor ceiling arguments. Like, Jason Witten's never going to have that big day. Seferian Jenkins have big days for 3 weeks now. It's just not a trade you would make a fantasy. Everybody would, any fantasy football, anybody would tell you that's just insulting. It's an insulting trade.
How many touchdowns for Jenkins? Two on the season, right?
But he's only been playing three games, but it's not all about the touchdowns.
I understand that, but in receptions, 23. You can argue this all you want.
It's a bad trade.
And Jason Witten, I think he was targeted at least six or seven times the last ball game out. No touchdowns, I don't believe.
It's not a good trade. It's not, just not. It's not a good trade.
I'm just trying to reinforce my bench. I apologize.
I apologize for...
It's an insulting deal.
I countered the deal.
I mean, Pete traded an injured guy to Tiki. A guy who's on IR.
That, he's rebuilding for next year. I traded him Dalvin Cook. He's rebuilding for next year.
A guy who tore his ACL.
Oh, wow.
For Christian McCaffrey.
What?
It's
who
just,
would do that?
Tiki's already given up in week six.
I mean...
What was your counter offer, Mikey B?
Jordy Nelson and Antonio Brown.
Wow. For Austin Sparrow.
That's not...
There's only... You can pray on Tiki, you can pray on Stu, maybe Ike on a good day because he's a space cadet. But that's it. That's the only people you can pull your crap on. This is the fantasy football equivalent of putting the tray off the scale. That he does when he gets food at those places.
Look, it's not my fault these guys aren't prepared. I couldn't prepare.
All right, so you're admitting it now.
Right, you pray on the week.
So you're admitting it.
You pray on the week.
I admit I'm prepared whenever I...
prepared? You pray on the week.
Yeah, I mean,
and here's the problem. You're the commissioner. You're the only guy who can veto a trade. You know what I propose is next year that we all get a vote in the trades.
He's Roger Goodell.
Because I'll tell you, because with these horrible trades that you're making, horrible for the rest of the league... You could never veto a trade.
I'll change it now.
If you've already done 50 of these.
I'll change it now.
Yeah, 50 of these trades. I mean, if someone got, I don't know, Taylor Gabriel traded for Julio Jones, you couldn't veto that because of the trade you make. You traded an injured guy.
He's building for next year.
It might not even be a next year. You watch the news?
It's like the dead parrot in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. Come on. Next year.
Dead bird?
Dalvin Cook in a trade?
I'll lower my standards next year.
He may not be
here. He's building for next year.
Well, first of all, Tiki and Tini will never die, so... Tiki will be here.
Lord Tierney.
Save us all.
After the super volcano at Yellowstone erupted and brought us into
you saw that too.
Yeah, that's actually one of my fears.
Yeah, the super
I'm serious.
The super volcano?
Yeah, we're due.
You ever see that? Yeah,
that's
man.
One of my fears. If that ever happens in our lifetime, that's not going to be fun.
We'll be safe here, right?
No.
But we'll always have football at the 40s to get us through. Yeah.
Right. Are you in or are
well,
you out?
Well, Teague, there's no more lettuce available. and we're still trying to learn how to grow wheat inside the bubble.
But Dalvin Cook's back.
Right.
And he's helping your fantasy team and the actual Vikings.
There was a new report on that, the Yellowstone thing recently.
Yeah.
It's not good. Mm. They think that it's going to erupt sooner than later.
Uh-oh.
And then, you know what happens, all the ash goes up, and then we don't have sun anymore.
Stop with your science.
And then and all the plants
Jesus
die,
will save us. Don't worry.
Right.
Just pray.
He's right. It's going to be me and Hoya left.
All right. Coming up next, what are we doing next? Oh, yeah. Talk about Colin Kaepernick.
Why not?
It's always fun, right?
Yeah.
Relive all that.
He just wants millions of dollars because he's an activist or something.
Coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I've said for a long time now, we both said that it's obvious to us that although not every team was out there looking for a quarterback, but the ones that were would stay away from Colin Kaepernick based on solely, in my opinion, and they can give you all the other excuses, but they didn't want to bring him in because of what happened last year with him, and they think there's too much negativity surrounding him, and they think that the distraction is going to cause some sort of problem in their locker room. And they think that it might hurt business because fans are going to be so ticked off that they're not going to put on the television sets anymore or show up to the games. I don't believe that that is the case. There are some people, yes, that would be upset, sure. But to think that your business is going to go in the toilet because you signed Colin Kaepernick is a falsehood. So he files this grievance against the NFL citing collusion. You know, and I don't know. Like, I definitely believe that he's not in the NFL because of that stuff, but yeah. I don't know if the owners had conversations amongst themselves to
That's the crux of it. That's where is there any merit to the filing of collusion if you have no empirical evidence that showcases that they all got together, or an email chain, or television, or telephone, you know, calls that were made. Do you have evidence that any of this occurred to prove and give validity to this this lawsuit? And I think that's going to be a tough hill to climb. If they do have that evidence, that's a huge feather in Colin Kaepernick's cap if they do. But they have yet to disclose what they have to prove that there was collusion. And yeah, there are those who have come out even last year when he was still playing for San Francisco that said that they would never sign him because of his stance. And so yeah, it was anonymously reported. Of course, they didn't want to put their name on it. They were too chicken to do that.
And John Maris said it without saying it too.
Right. Yeah. And so, but I think it's. Any legal expert would say it's going to be very difficult to prove collusion if you don't have that empirical evidence.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have done this if I were Colin Kaepernick. I mean, it's tough for me to put myself in his shoes right now and everything that's going on in his life, but I probably wouldn't have done this, not because I'm afraid of the blowback, but just because it just seems like it's a very difficult thing to prove.
And it also, if you don't have a preponderance of evidence.
Right. Maybe they do.
Exactly. That's the only reason why you would file this, because it pretty much ensures that you will never play in the NFL again.
Yeah. Well, I think that also that was already sealed with a kiss. Is that what people
Not
say?
Not with a kiss, with a kick in the butt. Get out of here.
Right. So I really don't think that there was much of a chance anyway. I think that was proven over the last couple of months. So, and I still hear people going, well, is RG3 blackballed too? Well, no, because he just flat out stunk. And there's another reason why people didn't sign him is because he was someone who was terrible in locker rooms.
Yeah, it's hard to argue some of the signings that we've witnessed. And that's why I've maintained it. All these marginal quarterbacks, and that's being nice. They should send a piece of their check to Colin Kaepernick, because the only reason they're on the roster is because everyone's avoiding Colin Kaepernick.
Thad Lewis, yeah, Brandon Whedon.
I mean, some of these cats, they couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. So there's no denying that. And we, since we even broached this topic, you've had every excuse under the sun. Oh, he sucks. He can't read defense. He can't do this. And just give it a break. Just quit lying to yourself, please, and just say what's really deep in your heart is the fact that you don't like that he's bringing attention to social injustice. Just be a man and a woman and say that, please. Yeah. Be honest to yourself. Can't be honest with us. At least be honest to yourself.
Right. Well, I think that it's really what it is they're afraid that his stance and his actions are going to hurt their bottom line somehow. Is what it is more than anything else. But I just really don't believe that that's the case. I mean, you hear a lot of people, people.
Even if it does in the short term, wouldn't you rather be on the right side than the wrong side of this issue? Even if it does, even
right,
if you do take a hit.
Of course.
There.
But
and that's what change is all about. Yeah, it's going to hurt. And yeah, you may take a hit in your pocketbook, but you're going to, change is about making sacrifices.
And everybody assumes that it's going to all be negative if Kaepernick's on a team. What if Kaepernick's on a team, he ends up standing for the national anthem like an owner maybe asked him to do, but still uses his platform to help certain things out, brings a locker room together. It's just we start moving on positively from this. Imagine if that were the case, as opposed to everybody just the assumption being that it's going to cause a rift in the locker room and people are going to cancel their season ticket subscriptions.
Well,
and
some will. Bye. See ya.
Yeah, it is tough, though, and I think that everybody would love to be on the side of things to help things get better, but it is tough
to
say.
No, they don't. Not everybody wants to be on that side.
All right.
Don't lie for them. No, not everybody not everyone believes in what he's fighting for.
Sure,
not everyone
but
wants to advocate on the behalf
my
of.
My bigger point is that it's just tough to tell somebody that, you know, you should not do this, you should do this based on the success of the business. I mean, you know, it's their business. And
I understand it's their business, but my point is this, that sometimes you make those sacrifices for the greater good. That's my point. No, I'm not going to sit here and tell someone how to run their business, but you're on the wrong side of this issue. And just like those who were wouldn't allow black people to sit at their lunch counter. They were on the wrong side of the issue. They thought they were doing the right thing at the time. They were on the wrong side. And I think history will show that those who are adamant in deflecting about this issue, those who are adamant and deriding those who are standing up for those who, without a voice, and that used to be a noble endeavor until... not even until Kaepernick, that's always been frowned upon when black people stand up and fight for their rights. You can go back throughout our history, and they've been excoriated and emasculated for doing that. So that's part of the long, lengthy history, shoddy history at different times of our country, and people don't want to come to terms with that. So all we are seeing now is people are delving into the old playbook and making it present.
Shelley Meyer is the wife of Urban Meyer, and she tweeted out after the Colin Kaepernick news came out of the lawsuit, said, whatever, he made his choices, and then quoted a tweet when someone replied to a tweet when someone said they would take Tim Tebow any day over Colin Kaepernick. She said, a million times, no comparison at all. So, and then she deleted the stuff and whatever else from there, but I mean,
yeah, and somewhat try to walk it back.
Yeah, I
mean, someone replied, would you take Aaron Hernandez over him?
I know,
and of course, there was no reply. And Urban Meyer coach Aaron Hernandez recruited him there to Florida.
You know, what's funny is a lot of those Florida teammates I don't think like Tebow. I had some information on that, but from one of them. In a particular locker room once, that like everybody thought that like Tebow like was like the man there. I don't know if he fit in with them. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I don't know if he was like the great unifier that everybody made him out to be.
Not everyone's going to rally around the same beliefs that he rallied around, and you know, where are my holier than thou religious folks when it comes to social injustice? I don't hear from them too often.
They're getting communion.
Is that what it is?
Yeah
they're silent on this topic, so maybe that's why Shelley Meyers would want to be in their camp.
I have changed my tune a little bit on Tebow. I used to really not be on the side of Tebow, but I gave him a lot of credit for that baseball thing. I really did, actually, even though it was ridiculous I thought it was to begin with.
Oh, you did come around on that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really hard to do that. So
he's better at that than he was throwing the football.
Basically, yes.
And he tried everything as far as his mechanics and still.
Stop talking.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.